Do you ever get overwhelmed by all of the things that you are supposed to be learning to be your best self? The journey of self-development is a lifelong one, but it doesn't need to be tackled in heroics. Sometimes just taking small steps every week will help you improve yourself faster and more sustainably than you might think. So today, we are learning about one approach to self-development that every manager can manage. A warm welcome to Megan G to the Modern Manager community. Today's guest is Scott Waldron. Scott is a communication strategist, coach, podcast host, and author of the best-selling Unlocked, a 52-week guide for the intentional leader. Scott is renowned for transforming complex communication challenges into growth opportunities. His practical strategies foster effective leadership, influence, and alignment in top-tier organizations like JPMorgan Chase, the CDC, and the Coca-Cola Company. Scott and I talk about how to integrate self-development into your life in a manageable way, and he shares some practical examples of going from inspiration to transformation using the ideas in his book. In the extended interview, available to members of Podcast Plus and the Skills Accelerator, Scott shares how you can bring this approach to self-development to your team and manage any pushback that might arise. Now here's the conversation. Are you a manager, boss, or team leader who aspires to level up and unleash your team's full potential? You're listening to the Modern Manager Podcast, and I'm your host, Mamie Canfer-Stewart. Each week, I explore effective strategies and provide actionable insights that supercharge your management abilities, optimize team performance, and foster a healthy workplace culture. Become a rockstar manager and help your team thrive at themodernmanager.com/more. Thank you so much for joining me today, Scott. I'm super excited to have you today. I want to talk about your new book and the practice of kind of weekly investment in yourself as a leader. And I'm also really excited because I got to chat with you on your podcast a while ago. So it's so nice to have you here on my podcast now. So welcome.
Thank you so much. You are such an awesome guest to have on my show. Well, I was like, oh my gosh, I got to be on her show because she's so fun. And so here we are talking about fun things. You talked about super practical stuff on my show, and I hope to be able to give that back to your people.
Well, before we dive in, tell us what's the name of your show and what's the name of your book?
The name of the show is called Unlocked with Scott Waldron. So if you look that up wherever you listen to podcasts, you will find that. It's S-K-O-T, by the way, for people looking up Scott Waldron. And the name of the book is called Unlocked, a 52-week guide for the intentional leader. So little brand consistency there. See what it did? See what it did there?
When I was reading your book, right, what I loved about it was that each week was designed to have an intention and some activities and reflection. Well, first reflection and then activities to implement. So maybe you can first talk about like why that approach of intention, reflection, and activity, and as a way of kind of growing yourself and being intentional about your self-development, as opposed to many other ways that we can go about in our learning journeys.
I feel that there are different types of people. Okay. There's those people that, you know, get inspirational calendars, inspirational posters, and they read that inspiration and they're like, yeah, like that's it. You know, it's like whatever it is, they can flip it over the calendar for February 13th and they go, yeah, like I feel fulfilled from that, whether it's a scripture verse or some inspirational quote from some leader somewhere, like, cool, that's fine. Inspiration, I think, is we all need it. We all want it. It drives us, whatnot. There's keynote speakers that get up and just inspire. I feel like I want to give away all my money to them. Whatever you do, here it is. Like, take my money, do all my stuff because I believe in what you're doing and I'm behind it. And I, you know, whatever, I trust you. That's inspiration. I am a little bit inspiration, a lot of application. Okay. Because I think that without application, there's no transformation. We can be inspired and that sometimes can push us into something. But I feel like, hey, as a coach, I know that if I come in and just speak a bunch of words to you and inspire you, and as a speaker, if I inspire you, that's fantastic. But what are you going to do when you leave the room? What are you going to do when you get off this call with me? What are you going to do when you walk out of that door? That's what I want to know, because that's going to drive transformation. It's the little micro motions that you make over time that are ultimately going to transform not only you, but the culture you build at home and at work. So that's more my thing. Inspiration or information with application leads to transformation. And that is the way the book is built.
Yeah. And I love it. In the beginning, you were talking about the importance of not seeing a journey as this kind of big, huge thing you have to get done right away. Like you just need to figure out how to be a better leader like right now. But it actually is built of lots of small micro changes that you can make in your mindset, that you can make in your behavior, and that it's the buildup of all those little changes that actually leads to the transformation and not the, you know, heroic giant pivot into like becoming a whole new person overnight. Mm-hmm. And I think it's really important because it's hard as a manager when you sometimes feel like you're doing everything wrong or you just have no clue what you're doing or you feel like you have so much to learn and it's overwhelming to think what that journey looks like. But when you break it down and take it one step at a time, it's actually manageable.
Think about our businesses, right? I mean, what you and I do. I mean, have you ever been brought in for a one-time event and then ultimately the entire culture changed forever? Like,
I wish.
I mean, usually it's like they may take away some little nugget from what you say from a 60-minute presentation to our workshop, through our whatever. They'll take away something. They'll implement maybe a tiny little something, which is like the spark, which is the thing that maybe gets them going. We hope for that, right? We hope that they get that spark, that inspiration, that thing that goes, huh, maybe this does work. You know, but it's not that thing that's going to transform culture forever. So when we go in, it's like, hey, try this out, taste it, dip your toe in the water, see what happens. But it's really going to be the consistency over time, right? You can't go to the gym once and expect to be, you know, an ultra marathon runner or a bodybuilder. It's the consistency over time that's going to really build what I call your leadership brand over time. And do people talk about you in a favorable way or not? Do they talk about you consistently in this way or not? And how are you showing up? So that's what I want to make sure we talk about.
All right. Well, let's dive into some of the inspiration into actions that you cover in your book. So do you have a favorite of the inspirations into actions of the 52 weeks?
The book is built into three main sections. There's a know yourself, love yourself, lead yourself. And obviously, I start with the know yourself because if I don't know myself well, how am I supposed to give? I can only give what I possess. If I only possess 50% health, if I'm burnt out, if I am not aware, if I'm stressed, if I'm whatever, how can I give you 100%? Whether you're my spouse or my family or my employees or my team members or whatever. So I really want you to focus on you first. And then as we branch over into loving ourselves more, that doesn't mean like, I don't mean like self-affirmation kind of stuff in the mirror. I'm talking like really valuing what you bring to the table. How many of us really know what we bring to the table and value that thing as much as everybody else? Or how much do we spend our time looking at other people comparing and going, God, I wish I was that. Like, I really wish I was better at spreadsheets. Like I really wish, you know, but then moving into the lead yourself, it's now that I know myself better, I appreciate what I bring to the table. Now I have the capacity to lead well, lead others, lead myself well, and be intentional with the way I show up. That's kind of how it's built into those three sections. There's little checkups like in between where we do these periodic check-ins where I say, hey, how are we doing? How are you feeling about yourself compared to when we started? So there's a benchmark system and a way to measure progress over time. Again, I want you to see it. I want you to see that you're making an impact and progress over time. One of the inspirational ideas, so this is built into like inspiration with a little commentary from me and then application, some prompts, questions. So it's more of a guidebook. This is something you like sit by a fire and cuddle up with the, you know, your hot cocoa and like read for 3 hours. No, that's not that at all. But one of the quotes is, if you're comfortable all the time, then you're probably mediocre because the comfort zone is lined with defensiveness and excuses for why we should stay there. We hate being uncomfortable. We all hate it. Our brains are meant to move towards comfort, away from pain, and to avoid effort because they're meant to preserve ourselves. Yeah. So when we sit there and make excuses, we are defensive for why we should stay in this comfort zone area, then that is just ripe for us playing it safe and remaining what I call mediocre. We're not horrible. It doesn't mean we're going to get worse. It just means we're probably not going to get any better. So it's always that kind of comfort zone area. And then I have a little commentary in there, but then one of the things that I also try to cite is some research. I try to put a little bit of research. It's no like, I'm no, you know, Simon Sinek in this thing, right? Or Adam Grant, like I'm not going like through pounds in research, but I do try to add some valid research into each one of these things. And there was a study, Dr. Russo Netzer and her collaborator designed an invention called a behavioral stretch invention that encouraged people to take up activities that were previously outside their comfort zone. And the study found that actually engaging with these activities boosted life satisfaction of people who started out with relatively low self-satisfaction. So while it is hard to do it, there is a reward on the other side of that thing. Science has shown it and these studies prove it. And what I want you to do is focus on this idea of like, which area of your life have you been confining yourself to this comfort zone in? Like, is it with dealing with a family issue? Is it with maybe your own job progression in life? Is it with dealing with an employee that's not, you know, you're like scared to go out and hire somebody new because the hiring market's so difficult? Maybe you just like keep them on board. It's not bad enough, or you justify it because it'd make you uncomfortable. Although it's making everybody else uncomfortable that this person's still there. So it's like, where's your comfort and discomfort getting in the way of other people? It's a reflection question. I want you to really do that and then take action into it of like, so when are you going to take action? What are you going to do about it? Like, I'm always kind of like, what are you going to do about it? You know, my wife doesn't like that question, but when I say it to my team members, like, and my people I'm coaching, it's like, hey, what are we going to do? That's why you pay me. Like, let's move, let's take action. So it is about that. And then you reflect on it later and I want to see how it went.
I love that one. And it's so true that we can just get comfortable in that place because we have too many other things going on and we don't have time to deal with this and we don't want to rock the boat and it doesn't feel like it's worth the effort. But yeah, it makes a big difference when you recognize where are you kind of playing it easy and it's really not actually serving you or your team members or your family or your community well. I will share kind of my plan for using your book. So hey there, Mamie here. Just a quick and exciting update for all of you who are enjoying the Modern Manager podcast. The Modern Manager membership community is getting a minor makeover, and it is now called the Podcast Plus membership. And you can sign up for it and join a community of managers determined to do better every day. You'll get full access to our Slack channel, sketch notes with key takeaways from each episode, all types of guest bonuses, and the members-only podcast, which is ad-free and has extended interviews. So you get to hear the answers to my juiciest questions without interruptions like this one. Sign up today for $15 per month at themodernmanager.com/more. Can't wait to see you there.
So I did read it in a day because I was prepping
you
for this.
You did?
Oh, but Amy. I
but you're going to reread it. You're going to reread
exactly.
It now, right?
Okay. Exactly. So every day I have a morning routine that includes journaling and planning my day and some other things, meditation and stretching and all this fun stuff. But my plan now is to incorporate each chapter kind of one a week into my morning routine because I can do it in just a couple of minutes. And that really like fits into my morning. So I'm just super excited. And I hope that other people will kind of pick up on that same approach and just build it into your weekly routine of reading a little section. It probably takes, you know, 10 minutes to do the reading and do the initial reflection. And then at the end of the week, another 10 minutes to follow through and, you know, see, did you do what you said you were going to do? So I'm just going to put a plug for everyone taking, you know, 10 to 20 minutes a week to read your book, each, you know, read a chapter. Focus on that intention, figure out your actions, do the follow through, et cetera. So the quote around blame and responsibility, maybe you could share that one with us.
I love that you mentioned that it just fits in because that was my thing, right? Is it takes me a while to get through books. I'm not a sit down and read for 3 hours type of person. I really like to come in, get a glimpse of something that I can go talk to somebody about. Like I like a talking point. And so I was writing this book for people that are, they're really busy. They don't have time to sit down and read something for hours on end, but they really want some actionable insight. There are some of those books, which I have been reading, one called 4,000 Weeks, which is amazing. If you haven't read that book, about the idea of our finality and and time management, our thinking around time management. It's very philosophical, but it's really, really cool. It's really well done, well written. So check that out if you haven't checked that one out yet. But I do like those books, but I also like the ones that are like, bam, give me some action, give me some action. So that's where we did this one. That's kind of one of the reasons why I wrote it. So I'm so glad that it fits into your routine the way it does. Week four says, blame creates disempowerment. Responsibility creates empowerment. Are you blaming or are you taking responsibility? This one and goes into, and many of you know the research of Carol Dweck about the psychology of success and her book, Mindset, about having a scarcity mindset versus abundant mindset. And she explains the idea of these distinctions between blame and responsibility and their focus. So blame tends to be more retrospective, always looking backwards to like pinpoint this cause of a past event or a mistake. So in contrast, responsibility is more prospective, looking ahead to solutions and improvement and preventing future errors. Blame tends to be a lot of pointing fingers and disempowerment. Because when I'm blaming other people, I am shoving away my ability to have control over those things. Because if I'm blaming you, I can't control you. And if I'm blaming you, you might just go do that thing again. Then I blame you again. And I just give away all my power. And I say, well, you know, Mamie's a jerk. Like she doesn't do anything like that I tell her to do. And she's really lazy. And not that that's ever true. We know that's not true. I want to make sure that we are taking responsibility for our part in this. Not saying you don't have any responsibility in this, because you do. As long as I start taking my responsibility, then that's when I'm starting to give the power back to me. So I want you to reflect again, who are you blaming right now? Because there's probably somebody you're blaming. And I want to know what part of that situation can you own? Again, two parts. If I'm blaming you for something, turning it back on me goes, there's so much self-awareness and self-improvement that comes into that, that we can just gain so many insights from. And then I want to know, like at the end of the week, like what did it feel like to take responsibility? What did it feel like to own it? You know, is there a difference in feeling between blame and responsibility? I believe there is. And I want you to experience it.
Yes, right. The more that we can recognize our role in something and what we do have control over, even if we don't have control over everything, there's often something that we can do differently. And I think this is another one that is particularly important for managers, as you were just kind of laying out, that we don't have total control of our team, right? They are individual humans with autonomy. And sometimes it feels like, the problem is them. And we start to feel like there's nothing I can do about it. And maybe I need to fire them, or maybe this is just not going to work out. Maybe this was not a good idea to give them this role or give them this project or give them more autonomy than they were ready for. And it starts to feel like, it's a big problem, when really like taking a step back and say like, what can I do differently to set them up for success? What can I do differently to help them make better decisions so that I don't have to blame them for a mistake that was made, because I know I did my part to set them up. And actually, this reminds me of a client I had who unfortunately did have to fire someone, but she came to me after and she said, I've never felt good after I fired someone. Like I usually feel like really horrible and terrible because I'm taking someone's livelihood away. And it's so painful. And they're so upset. She's like, but this time it was different. She's like, I wasn't happy. I wasn't like so glad that I could let this person go. She's like, but I felt like I had done everything I could to make it work. And there was nothing left that I could do. And at that point, it was clear that it just wasn't going to work. And how different it felt for her to know that she tried to do the things that she could that were in her control. And they, even though they didn't work out, that was okay, because she wasn't giving up and she wasn't blaming the person and kind of giving over her own control and her own power. She was really doing what she could do, and it still didn't work. And then that was okay. And she could be at peace with that decision. So really powerful when we take ownership.
And I think that when, back to what you were saying too, about some people just say, I'll just fire that person. Like, I'll just get rid of them. Without the self-reflection part and the understanding of what's happening in that space. Now, granted, some people just need to go. But without the understanding of that, we just kind of regurgitate the same problem and then wonder why we can't find any good people these days. Like, where are all the good people these days? Well, have you noticed the common denominator between all of these firings, you know, and the culture that's being created? Like, is that the culture we're creating? And I think it comes with that idea of, well, there's nothing else left to do. Yeah. It's just those people that are horrible and we can't find any good help these days. So,
Yep. Got to look inwards. Is there another, before we run out of time, that you particularly love, maybe from one of the sections that we haven't touched on yet?
Yeah. So in the lead yourself section, this is something I took from, so in my past life, I did a lot of brand strategy work and design work for companies, organizations all over the world. And I learned this concept from a family therapist I was doing some speaking with at the time. He was speaking on something and I would come in and help with some brand strategy, kind of thinking around messaging and how to communicate effectively in a PR sense or whatever we were talking about at the time. And he introduced this idea to me called 1N equals 5P. And I was like, 1N equals 5P. And it's from Dr. John Gottman. If you know Dr. John Gottman, he is a relationship expert and the Gottman Institute. If you look that up, you will find some beautiful things there to help you with your relationships as well. But he did an experiment where he observed couples in a room and he had a certain number of couples come in and he asked them to engage for 15 minutes about a topic of, you know, contention, something that was a little hard for them to discuss. And they communicated. He was able to predict with a high rate of accuracy, it's like 95%, who was going to be divorced in the coming years. And it was because of this ratio of 1N equals 5P. He noticed that the couples that were getting divorced had an out of whack ratio of negative to positive comments, negative to comment, positive reactions, words they were using. So his ratio is generally, right, for every negative thing you communicate, you need five positives to neutralize that negative. And I used to do it from a brand strategy perspective. I was like, hey, company, you have a bad interaction. If your customer has a bad interaction with you, it's not just going to be a letter of, hey, we're really sorry about that. Here's a 10% off coupon for your next whatever. It's going to take like probably five, maybe even more interactions with positivity for that person to go, okay, you're good now. Like you're in my graces. I'm like, let's do this thing. It's going to take some time. Okay. We have felt this in relationships quite a bit too. It's like, you know, somebody burns us and then they come and they're like, oh, sorry, my bad. We good? And you're like, no, we're not good. Like, I appreciate you saying you're sorry, but no, like it's going to take some time. Like I need some time. They're like, can't you just get over it? You know, those types of conversations. It's like, no, I can't get over it. Like what you did was really horrible. You know? So when we talk about leadership, how we lead ourselves and our interactions with our team members and the people that we are interacting with all the time, are we aware of our ratio? Are we presenting, are we interacting more negative than we are positive? Am I criticizing more than I'm empowering and building up? Am I critiquing more than I am liberating? Like, where am I on that spectrum? Some of us are natural critiquers. That's what we're built to do. We're built to solve problems and critique things and to make them better. Just be aware that we also need the other stuff, you know? So the ratio of 1N equals 5P is really simple to remember and has applied to corporations dealing with customers. And now I do it a lot with leaders and dealing with their people. So I think that one has always stuck really well.
I'm wondering, because when I read this one, I was like, oh, this makes a lot of sense. And also, like, do I have to be complimenting people like all the time now? So I'm wondering if you could unpack a little bit of what really constitutes negative, like, obviously, giving someone feedback or criticizing an idea in a meeting kind of fall on the negative side. But are there other things that would kind of fall on the negative side that might not be so obvious? And then same thing on the positive side. Obviously, thanking someone or giving them praise or celebrating them falls on the positive. But are there smaller ways that we can be giving the kind of positive signals so that our balance and our ratio can shift in the right direction.
I want you to think about your own tendency here, maybe when we're talking. I want you to think about what's maybe the tendency that could fit into like the 1N or the 1P for you, okay? I'll just give some examples first and then you can share yours. I'm gonna ask for a little vulnerability on your own show. Is that cool?
Love it.
You love it. I know you do. I knew you'd be game. I knew it. So mine, I'll just share mine, right? One of mine was, hey, when I was leading a team of people at an agency, my people, they liked me. Like I liked them. I'm a good guy. They're good people. We really, really enjoyed each other. We went on trips together. We did all kinds of things together. The one N often fell into this space of not communicating everything that was in my brain. I often would be doing a lot of things, but not communicating my intention to them. So what happens? They're left in the dark. They are left with some ambiguity and not really understanding their role and their place, instilled fear. They came up to me one time, I was having lunch with one of them, and she said, so do I still have a job? And I was like, oh my gosh, wait, what? Why would you say that? And she goes, I don't know. I just see you doing all this other stuff and I don't know what's going on. And are we okay? And I'm like, yeah, like we're great, you know? And I was just like, I had no idea. But it was that I feel fits into the one end. Like it's a negative interaction that I wasn't aware of, but my tendency to hold things in as more introverted type tendency held me back from that and damaged that trust a little bit. Okay. Now on the P side, the one and the 5P side. So yes, I can come by, I can pat you on the shoulder, I can give you a letter and give you a gift card, whatever. Like, sure, some recognition rewards are always great. But when I talk about this also, I talk about time, vision, and encouragement. So those are simple things, like the encouragement thing, verbal encouragement, but specific encouragement. Not, hey, Mamie, good job on that presentation last week, and then I'm out. But it's like, hey, you know what you did in that presentation at the beginning when you built the argument for why we should do that? It was like, I love that. That was really smart. I'm gonna think, can you do that next time? Like that is a different type of encouragement. So time, vision, encouragement, and vision, I talk to you about your potential. I come in and say, hey, let's talk a little bit. Where do you see yourself going? What are you doing? This is what I see for you. This is why I hired you in the first place. So encouragement. But the time piece, non-structured time, I just call you out on a whim. Hey, how's it going? Like, how was last week? How'd it go? What'd you like, just out of the blue? And then really structured time is, hey, every Friday at 9 o'clock, we're going to have a quick, you know, 10-minute check-in. I just want to see how it's going, you know? So that consistently will build so much brand equity for you as a leader that when the hard times do come and you do undermine your influence in some way, shape, or form, they go, yeah, he's human, like, but he's great, you know? So there's gonna be that. If you have a brand deficit, right? You have that in your brand bank account, when you get hit, it's gonna hurt because you're already kind of in the negative.
I would love to share my negatives and positives, but we're actually going to run out of time here. So instead,
dang it. Oh, I talk too much. Give me one. What? Just give me one really quick. I just want to know one. Come on. Your audience wants to know too.
Okay. So I am notorious for missing deadlines, that I am very aspirational in saying when I'm going to get something done and I have every intention of doing it. And then I see it on my to-do list and it just doesn't get done. And so my team members are constantly waiting on me to get them things that I said I was going to get done today. And then like the next day, they're like, hey, do you have it? I'm like, I'm working on it right now. I'll get it to you by 3. And then 3 o'clock comes and goes. And then at 4:30, they're like, do you have it? I was like, I promise I'll have it to you by 8 a.m. tomorrow. That is my like worst thing. And I know that it is not a good trait. And it's something I'm trying to figure out how to get better at my own planning so that I don't overwhelm my days. Even though I do all the right things of planning and at time estimating, all those things, I'm just very bad at it. But also that I know that it's not a good thing for them because they're trying to get their work done and they've planned their days based on what I've committed to doing. Although now they probably plan their days differently knowing I won't get things done.
The brilliance in that is awesome because I'm sure they love you and you love them and there's some great relationships there. It's just like this thing that could possibly undermine that influence and create those negative interactions with your team that when you're aware of them and you're they're aware that you're aware of them, there's a, probably some more grace given there. And you know, that you're all working on stuff. And that tendency, unfortunately, like never goes away. So it's like, how do I make sure that I'm more intentional with saying yes to those things and making sure, and also giving them permission to challenge you on saying yes to those things. 5 o'clock? No, just give it to me by 8 o'clock tomorrow.
Yeah.
You know, like,
yes.
Saving you from yourself, giving them yeah. that permission is powerful.
All right. Well, we do have to wrap up here. So Scott, can you tell us about a great manager that you worked for and what made this person such a fabulous boss?
I don't know if she, I would qualify her as my manager or my boss, but she was the lead on a project and she brought me in as a consultant, outside consultant to help her on this project. And she is my hero. She is like, I look at her and I say, are you like seriously so giving of everything, like your time and knowledge and support that like, she never seems like she's for herself in anything. She's always so kind of confident and powerful and low key, but she's always giving and knows that things will come back to her. She has that confidence and that knowledge for her because she's tested it. But I just hope that one day I can walk around with that type of confidence and that type of being for others because it's very infectious and very powerful.
And where can people learn more about you and get a copy of your book and all that jazz?
Well, they can go to Amazon to get a copy of the book or Barnes & Noble or wherever you buy books. You can go there and get that. You can go to scottwaldron.com, scottwaldron.com. That's where all my kind of coaching stuff is. You can read about why I spell my name, S-K-O-T. So you can go there and look at that. All my blog episodes and everything are on there, or all my podcast episodes are there as well. If you want to connect with me on LinkedIn, do that. Follow my podcast, YouTube channel, all that stuff is all available. I put some content out there. So hopefully it helps you all and empowers you to just be better. I want people to be the people that people get to follow, not people they have to follow. I think there's a big difference there. And we all know the difference. So let's be those people.
Perfect note to end on. Thank you again, Scott. Really, really wonderful to chat with you today.
Thank you.
Scott is providing members of Podcast Plus and the Skills Accelerator a robust summary of Unlocked, a 52-week guide for the intentional leader. And this summary includes a few weeks of activities for you to experience firsthand for free. He's also providing members with free group coaching, a free communication assessment, and a free team communication session. Plus, in the extended interview available to members, Scott shares how you can bring this approach to self-development to your team and manage any pushback that might arise. Lastly, did you know that if you work for a government or nonprofit agency, you get 20% off any Modern Manager membership? That's for Podcast Plus and the Skills Accelerator, monthly or annually. We also offer group discounts for at least 3 people or more from the same organization. So if you've got at least 2 fellow managers that you want to join together with, let me know and you'll get your 20% off for a group discount as well. To get these incredible guest bonuses, the extended interview, and many more resources, become a member at themodernmanager.com/more. All the links are in the show notes, and they can be delivered to your inbox when you subscribe to my newsletter. Find that at themodernmanager.com. Thanks again for listening. Until next time.